Has the pandemic interrupted your life? Today on Bold Steps Weekend, Mark Jobe shows us how we can quiet our souls and hear the voice of God.
Can I tell you, when it comes to the presence of God and hearing God, it's about positioning ourselves close to God. It's about pressing into God. It's about leaning in worship. It's about saying to God, God, I want to be close to you. I need your presence. I want all that you have for me. There's a spiritual hunger that drives us close to the presence of God.
Welcome to the new Bold Steps Weekend. Mark Jobe is our Bible teacher. He's also president of Moody Bible Institute and the senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. You can now hear Mark 6 days a week on the radio, over the internet, or through the popular Moody Radio app. And to learn more about the variety of ways you can catch this brand new weekend show, just go to boldstepsweekend.org. I'm Wayne Shepherd, and Mark, since we have many new listeners, let's get acquainted with you a little bit about this role you have as Moody Bible Institute president.
Yeah, Wayne. Well, let me say, first of all, I'm so excited that we can join you on the weekends with this new programming. And so if you're just new listening, welcome to our program.
You wear two hats, pastor and president.
I do wear two hats. So I've been a pastor in the city of Chicago for over 30 years now. And New Life Community Church is the name of the church. Started with 18 people in the inner city, and it's grown to minister to over 7,000 people at 28 locations.
Amazing.
Yeah, wow. It's been a fun journey. But 2 years ago, I transitioned to be the president at the Moody Bible Institute here in the heart of Chicago as well. And so I've had the privilege of joining this incredible team here and Moody Radio as well, yep, as you hear these programs, Bold Step.
It's so exciting to see your leadership at Moody, Mark. You're also an author, and we're going to start a 10-week series based on your latest book. The book is entitled, What Now? How to Move into Your Next Season. It's an amazing and timely book. For those who are new to us and new to you, tell us more about how the book came about.
Wayne, I wrote the book in the middle of the pandemic, and I remember the moment when I thought, I need to write this book. I was walking down the hallways of my church, and a woman in panic came up to me, and she said, it's done. I'm leaving him.
Oh.
And I said, you're leaving who? She said, my husband. I'm leaving him. She said, this pandemic has just been bad on our marriage, and I'm leaving him. And I said, slow down. Yeah. I said, slow down. Promise me you're not going to make an important decision in the midst of a crisis. And she took a deep breath. She said, okay, Pastor, I won't. Actually, I talked to her recently, and they're doing great.
Good.
But in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of disruption, sometimes we make jolting decisions. And this book is really designed for people that know they need to transition into a new chapter, but do it the right way, God's way.
Well, that book is the basis for your message we're going to start today, a brand new series kicking off with this message entitled, Quiet Your Soul to Listen. So let's get started. Here's Mark Jobe on Bold Steps Weekend.
I believe that God wants to speak to a lot of people. I believe there's course corrections that are happening. I believe there's some releasing of things that are happening. I believe there's some pruning that's happening during this time. Getting rid of stuff in our life that maybe needed to get rid of. Exposing some cracks in our life that have been there, but it took a crisis to reveal some of the issues that we have to deal with. And so as we transition to our next God season, our next chapter, the very first thing that I believe that needs to happen is that we need to quiet our soul to listen. And we need to ask ourselves this question, God, what are you saying and how can I cooperate? I don't know about you, but it's really hard to find a quiet space these days. Am I the only one? Or is it hard to find a quiet space? I feel like we're so hyper-connected that, you know, that phone is always there. People are texting me all the time. The other day, my son, Grant, who was upstairs, he FaceTimed me from my own house. He's FaceTiming me in my own house. Hold on a second. Wait a second. Whatever happened to coming downstairs and saying, Dad, I want to talk to you? There he is on FaceTime. I feel like you're hyper-connected. It's so hard. And before we used to go and find places to get alone, now those places are hard to go to. Places are shut down. So many of us struggle with finding that quiet place. And many people's minds have been agitated so much that it's hard to find a quiet place to listen. There's so much background noise. There's so much going on in our society. There's so much bad news. There's so much controversy. There's so much fighting and division and polarization. There's so much that's happening that people are agitated. Their souls are stirred up. Their minds cannot find rest. A lot of people are finding a really hard time to pause, to be quiet, and to listen. And that's exactly what I want to talk to you about today. And I want you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'm going to be looking at verses 1 through 10 of 1 Samuel chapter 3 as we talk about the topic of how to get quiet enough to listen to God. I don't want you to miss what God is saying to you. It would be a tragedy if you went through all this disruption and you just got onto the other side and said, well, I just want life to get back to normal, but you didn't learn a thing. You didn't hear from God. You stayed the same through it. It would be a tragedy if you did not allow this time to prune you, hone you, change you, prepare you for the next season. It tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 3, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. So let me set up the background for this. Israel is going through an interesting time. Eli is a prophet. He's older. He's got some sons that are helping him out, but his sons are ungodly. They're sleeping with women, getting drunk. Israel is in a bad state spiritually. A young boy by the name of Samuel is being raised, dropped off to be raised to be a man of God. He's got a story in of itself, how God opened up the womb of his mother, and Samuel is being raised to basically be a prophet. He's 13 years old, according to historian Josephus. So his voice is still changing. He's an awkward 13-year-old, away from his parents, trying to learn what his calling is, what his purpose is, what he's really meant to do. And it's an interesting time that Samuel lives in, because it says in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. You know when the word of God is rare? When people aren't listening. The word of the Lord is rare. In other words, he's saying that it was rare that there would be a prophetic word from God. It was rare that the prophets would say, thus saith the Lord, and speak to the nation of Israel. It was rare that the word of the Lord would come. Why? Because the word of the Lord comes to people that are willing to listen. The word of the Lord is abundant when hearts are soft and ready to listen. But when people are hard and not very open, when there is sin in the camp, then the word of the Lord is rare. And it tells us that in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12, Eli's sons were wicked men. They had no regard for the Lord. Verse 22 says, Now Eli, who was very old, heard about everything his sons were doing to all of Israel and how they slept with the women who served at the entrances of the tent of meeting. In other words, they were so ungodly that they were actually serving in the things of God, but they were taking advantage of women that were coming to the tent of meeting. They were supposed to be holy men, men of God, prophets, but yet their hearts were far from God. It was a terrible time. It was a messy time. It was a dark time in the history of Israel. And then God decides to speak to a 13-year-old boy. And I believe there's some lessons that we capture and learn about listening to God through the experience of 13-year-old Samuel. And so if you struggled sometimes with understanding and knowing the voice of God, if you are going through this season and you say, Pastor, I really want to hear God. I want to be attentive to God, but I'm just distracted and busy and I'm agitated and finding it hard to listen. Then I think this message is for you because I do believe that God wants to speak to you. So there's a 6-part process in hearing God, and I want you to understand these principles from the story found in 1 Samuel. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. First of all, when God speaks, expect him to get your attention by disrupting the normal. It tells us in chapter 3, verse 2, one night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see. Eli was an old man, a heavy old man, he hadn't taken care of himself. We know that from another part of Scripture. He was lying down in his usual place, it tells us, and the lamp of God had not gone out. It was late at night, basically. And Samuel, 13-year-old Samuel, was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of the Lord was. Here's this 13-year-old boy away from his house. But he sleeps close to that which is holy. Don't miss it. He hasn't yet heard the voice of God. And he's not clear about what God sounds like. But he has positioned himself to be close to the presence of God. You see, maybe you haven't quite discerned the voice of God, and maybe you have a hard time listening, but I tell you what, here's what I know, that when I want to hear someone, I get in a place where I'm close enough to them so that I can actually hear them. If you've ever been in a crowded place and there's a lot of noise and my wife is trying to tell me something in a restaurant and I can't quite hear her, she's just shouting it out and I say, what? What? Here's what I do. How do we solve that problem? All I have to do is get closer to her and say, what, hon? I can't hear you. In other words, when I position myself close to someone, it's a lot easier to hear that person.
You're listening to the Bible teaching of Mark Jobe here on Bold Steps Weekend. We'll get back to the second half of today's message in just a moment, so please stay with us. Well, January started off with a bang, but here at Bold Steps Weekend, we have a lot of exciting things coming your way this year. So if you haven't already, be sure to sign up for our weekly email, the Bold Stepper Weekly. Every Monday, Mark sends out a ministry update, highlights you may have missed from the daily program, and an opportunity to request our latest Bold Action Gift. We've made signing up simple and easy on our homepage, boldstepsweekend.org. Now, let's get back into Mark's message on learning to quiet your soul.
Can I tell you, when it comes to the presence of God and hearing God, it's about positioning ourselves close to God. It's about pressing into God. It's about leaning in worship. It's about wanting his presence. It's about saying to God, God, I want to be close to you. I need your presence. I'm pressing in to be close to you, to hear your voice. I am taking steps to draw near to you, God, because I long to hear you. I want all that you have for me. There's a spiritual hunger that drives us close to the presence of God. And it tells us that then the Lord called Samuel. It's in the middle of the night. He's laying down. The ark of the Lord is there. Then the Lord called Samuel. And listen, it says in verses 4 and 5, Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and he said, "Here I am. You called me?" But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lied down. Here's what I want you to understand. When God speaks to us, he gets our attention by disrupting our normal. He interrupts our normal. Now, Samuel did not recognize the voice of God. He thought it was Eli calling him from the other room. He didn't recognize the voice of God, but he recognized the disruption. He knew that he was being called and spoken to. His normal had been disrupted. Eli didn't normally call in the middle of the night. There was a disruption that took place. And can I tell you this? Oftentimes, God gets our attention through disruption. It's Saul on the road to Damascus that gets interrupted. It's the way of God to disrupt us so we'll listen. It's his way of getting our attention. And I believe there's a lot of people being disrupted right now. And so when life is being disrupted, I believe that you need to say, "Lord, here I am, your servant, and I'm listening." Number two, write this down. When God speaks, you will need to learn to distinguish his voice from other voices. Verse 6 says, "And again the Lord called Samuel. 13-year-old Samuel got up, and he went to Eli again, and he said, 'Here I am, you called me?' And Eli said, 'My son.' Eli said, 'I did not call you. Go back and lie down.'" Here's what I want you to know. God was speaking to Samuel, but Samuel was not acquainted with God close enough or deep enough to recognize the voice of God. He knew something was happening, but he couldn't recognize the voice of God. He couldn't distinguish the voice of God or the voice of the Spirit of God from the voice of other people and other things in his life. And maybe you feel that way. Maybe you say, "Pastor, I'm reading the Bible and a thought comes to my mind and I'm wondering, is this God? Is this myself? Is it the devil? You know, is this something in my imagination?" And you say, I can't quite tell what is God, what is not God. How do I know it's God that's saying this or if it's something on my own? How do I distinguish the voice of God? Well, I believe that there's a couple filters given to us in Scripture that help us distinguish the voice of God. Let me give you four filters that I try to filter the voice of God through. Number one, through his written word. It was F.B. Meyer that said, "The written word is the wire along which the voice of God will certainly come to you if the heart is hushed and the attention is fixed." Can I tell you something? The way God speaks to us is through his word. It's the inspired, infallible, inerrant word. It's God breathed. It's the breath of God. When the word of God, that's why when I get up on Sundays and preach, I don't preach out of just any book, or I don't preach out of philosophies that sound intellectual or good or the latest self-help book. No, I go straight to the word of God because it's the word of God that has power to change our life. It's the word of God that's been inspired and breathed of God. And the Bible says that his word does not come back void. The Bible says that his word is like a double-edged sword, piercing piercing, even to the dividing of the sun to the soul and spirit and joints and marrow. It's a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God, when I begin to preach the Word of God and break it into its context and deliver it, it's the power of God that awakens the spirit inside of you like nothing else can do. And it exposes your heart. It encourages you. It creates an avenue by which the Holy Spirit can deposit encouragement to your heart, rebuke, correct, instruct, change you. It brings enlightenment to the soul. It brings transformation to people's lives. It is the vehicle that healing travels on, and it is the way that salvation comes to people. There is power in the Word. And so I simply want to say, first of all, that there is no way that God ever speaks to you that contradicts His Word. And I've had people come to me in the past and say, you know, the Lord spoke to me. I always get a little nervous when the Lord speaks to people out of context. And someone says, the Lord spoke to me. And when it goes against the written Word of God, I know that was not God. It's always the Word. If anything that you feel God is asking you to do or impressing on your part, if it contradicts Scripture, a principle of Scripture, if it goes against Scripture, I can guarantee it is not God. You go to Scripture, you go to Scripture to confirm the Word of God. By the way, Psalms 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Can I tell you why some people don't hear from God as much as they should? Because they're not in the Word. Oh, I know I'm stepping on some people's toes here. You say, I just don't understand my wife. Well, listen, if you never talk with your wife, you're not going to understand her. I just feel like we're distant. Yeah, if you're not listening and talking, you're distant. I feel like God never speaks to me. Yeah, because God speaks through His Word. I can guarantee you that if you open the Word of God with a prayerful heart and a sensitive heart to God, saying, Lord, speak to me as I get into your word, and you meditate and you think and you pray through Scripture, not just reading for intellectual gain, that God will speak to your heart through His Holy Spirit, because this is the living Word. The second filter, though, that I would use is the filter of godly counsel, especially if it's a decision you're making and you're sensing that God is prompting you to do something. Proverbs 13:10 says, pride only brings quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Proverbs 15:22 says, the plans fail because of a lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. I would run things by people that are discerning people and making sure that if you're sensing that there's a prompting from the Spirit of God, that there's godly people speaking into it. Number three, filter it through inner peace. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace, that means soul harmony, which comes from Christ, act as a umpire continually in your heart. An umpire is someone that decides. That's a foul ball, that's a good ball. An umpire, let the peace of God act as an umpire in your hearts, deciding and setting the finality of all questions that arise in your minds. That's the Amplified Version. And number four, filter it through waiting on God. There's a element of waiting before the Lord. It's a lost art, the art of coming before the presence of God and waiting upon God and saying, I'm pressing and I'm seeking. I'm waiting for your confirmation. I'm open to what you're saying to me, Lord. I'm seeking and searching after you, Lord, for the word that you have for me. Psalms 27:14 says, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Psalms 33:20 says, we wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield.
You're listening to Bold Steps Weekend with pastor, author, and Moody Bible Institute president, Mark Job. Today's message was on learning to quiet your soul to listen, part of our series titled, What Now? And that's also the name of this month's Bold Action Gift.
Have you reached a point in your life where change seems necessary? Whether it's finding a new job or making strides in your community, change is a part of life and a part of God's plan. But a lot of us don't manage change well. What I mean by that is a lot of people think change is bad or scary, or for some of us, change is intimidating, but it doesn't have to be that way. And so to help you learn how to bring about the right kind of change in the right way, we're offering my book, What Now? How to Move into Your Next Season, as our latest bold action gift. It's a deeper call to action, and we'd love for you to request a copy today. Ask for the book, What Now? When you give a gift of any amount to support this ministry.
The book is our way of saying thanks for supporting the ministry of Bold Steps Weekend. When you give, you enable us to share the life-changing message of Christ with others, not only in your hometown or on your local radio station, but with listeners all across the country. So this year, as you feel led to invest in this ministry, we invite you to call us at 866-535-5580. That's 866-535-5580. Or go online and give when you go to boldstepsweekend.org. If it's easier, you can send your financial gift in the mail by addressing your envelope to Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And if you know of someone who would benefit from Mark's bold and authentic teaching, be sure to invite them to join us next weekend or direct them to our website. There they can listen to all of Mark's past programs, discover testimonies from fellow Bold Steps listeners, or learn more about Moody Bible Institute. We're online at boldstepsweekend.org. Well, that's all the time we have today. I'm Wayne Shepherd, inviting you to join us again next weekend when we continue with part two of our message called Quiet Your Soul to Listen. That's next time, right here on the next edition of Bold Steps Weekend. Bold Steps Weekend is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.